So yes, open innovation at Mozilla. This is what I need to talk about. And you know, very frankly, yesterday night, I went to bed, and I was happy because I had finished my presentation, writing my presentation for this morning, right before midnight. And I said, this is amazing that I have so much time to sleep, you know, it's good news. Because the night before, I was still 1:30 a.m. writing my presentation for the conference I gave yesterday. So, you know, I don't sleep enough and all that. And so finally, before midnight, I was in my bed. I was starting listening to cool music to cool me down. The lights were off. And I was done with my work for the day, and I would be in good shape today to give you good presentations. And then suddenly I realized I didn't write the second presentation.
Sure.
The other one?
I'm not on mute anymore. Is it? Wonderful mute button. And so, no, I'm not going to say my joke a second time because, you know, second jokes are always terrible. But anyway, I had to, you know, switch on the lights, go back to the desk, boot the computer, and write this presentation. So if it sucks, you know why. But I don't think it is. So really what I want to talk about now is about open innovation. And you hear a lot of people talking about open innovation, and actually, even if it's a pretty new concept, the concept, or at least the language to describe it, is totally abused. So you see people that will talk about open concepts, open innovation, sorry, and mean something very different from what we do. And I'm going to explain you what we do, but be aware that it may be different from other company that try to kind of buy innovation from customers or things like that. Well, today, open source is often given as a reference for open innovation, including Mozilla itself. What we are good at is being open, participatory, meritocratic. Means the people that make the decisions are the people who know what they are talking about. They are selected by their peers as responsible for a module or something because they are shown in the past that they make the right decisions. At Mozilla, things are a little awkward in the sense that you start doing things, and once you've proven that you can do things, then we give you the title. But it's afterwards. You have to prove that you do stuff, and you do it well, and then afterwards, we'll give you the title. I mean, even at the CEO level, my colleague John Lilly was actually being the CEO for a pretty long time, but acting as a CEO, even though, he didn't have the title. So even, you know, in the structure at the highest level, that's the way we work. It's meritocratic. And, well, sometimes chaotic, right? We've seen it when we just touched the notion of localization. Like we heard, Babelzilla, blah, not working that much, blah. All of this, we're working to improve it. The website localization, is it perfect? No, it is not. We're always working on making things better. But in the meantime, they still work. Maybe they require smarter people to work, but they work. That's the good thing. Just a couple of numbers. 230 million users of Firefox. We have more than 1,000 code contributors. this number is amazing. This number, 1,000 contributors, is amazing. The ratio between the two is totally lame. You get what I mean? It's only 1,000 people giving code compared to 203 million people using it. We can do better.
Be happy that you haven't got 230 million people contributing.
Yeah. That's, well, we're fixing it with a process. So actually, 300,000 people contribute, because actively contribute, they have Bugzilla accounts, they can report bugs, they can comment on bugs and stuff like that. So it's more than 1,000 people, and we have a process to gather the chaotic feedback we get and making it into a program which is just the opposite of chaos, right? You won't go very far with a chaotic program. Contributors are providing, are actually user innovators. We also have a mechanism which is the add-on mechanism, where we have more than 8,000 add-ons today. So, which is wonderful, because people, you know, scratch their own inches with add-ons. Like, I want to do something in my browser, and it just cannot do it, so I'm going to fix it. Because it's open source, because it has an add-on system, I can do that. And this is exactly what Olivier has shown earlier this morning, is that if you're not happy with the results you get, you can hack it. And you can write an extension, or it could be a Ubiquiti command, or it could be a user style sheet, or it could be a GreaseMonkey script. But basically, you can enhance your experience. Well, this is the issue about the ratio. Too many people contribute compared to the user base that we have. And people who contribute are coders. I mean, code contributors and code contributions are extremely important. But that's not enough. We need more people to contribute. And luckily, some artists contribute. So you've seen Firefox logos everywhere around here. Initially, it was some guy who said, you really need a good logo for a good product. That was 4 years ago. And he designed the logo for Firefox. So being an artist, not being able to write a single line of code, is essential to make a good product. So what we need is people with creativity, with ideas, but not necessarily developers. So we want to go, broader than just coders, please do.
So the problem is, and you mentioned it, is about scratching an itch. And an artist can scratch the itch that he had, that he didn't like the logo. But the problem is, if you have an itch and you don't have the skills to scratch it.
That's what we're going to fix. Okay, yes. So where do we want to go? We want to engage with people that have itches and don't know what to do with them, right? Because they don't have the ability to code, for example. So our vision is to create a framework or space or a tool, whatever, it's all together, to welcome people that want to participate in order to innovate. We want to get new user bases, not just coders, in diverse disciplines. And we want these people to meet in person or in virtual places, in forums. We're trying to figure this out, so we're not saying it's ready and perfect and working smoothly, but we're trying to make it happen. And so that people benefit from the shared innovation that results from this. So means more innovators, more people that can invent stuff that is cool, and in the end, more innovation. So how do we get there? Well, the framework, this is what that's the tough part. This is what we're trying to create. The way we do it is basically we do something, we see how it works, we improve it, we release it, we see how it works, you know, it's the open source thing. Release early, release often. So right now, it's just the beginning. So if you find that Mozilla, in terms of open innovation, is not amazing, that's your opinion. That's actually mine, too, to some extent. But it does exist, and it's better than nothing. And we're working on it, and it's increasing. You know, it's kind of the snowball. It's getting bigger and better at every cycle. And, of course, the result will be available in true Mozilla fashion as an open license. But also, there's a lot of communication happening. I mean, you need dialogue about open innovation. Let people know they can participate. I mean, if you set up a space, whether it's online or in the real life, and nobody comes to discuss, well, nothing happens, right? And this space here is just an example of these dialogues we want to have, engage you to participate and come with your ideas and things like that. And we're creating programs to spread the invitation to innovate. So the early results are Mozilla Labs Nights. So far, they have happened only in California, in Mountain View, in the Silicon Valley. We want to have more of them. For example, Paul is organizing Mozilla Labs Cafe in Paris. There was last week something in London, which was kind of similar. So these are real-life meetings. And the way it happens is, well, we have lightning talks, and you have an idea or prototype or anything, or you know, a diagram or something. You have an idea, you come, and you have 5 minutes. We even have a web page with a countdown set for 5 minutes. So while you present, there's a big countdown from 5 to 0 minutes. So you have 5 minutes to explain your concept and convince people to come talk to you and participate. And at the Mozilla Labs night, there's pizza, which is served. And so people do lightning talks, and we eat on the side, and we chat, and we drink, not a lot, and we talk a lot, and we show code, and we agree on meeting later, and just to hack or exchange ideas or stuff like that. So meeting in person is actually extremely important. So it happened in California, it's happening now in Europe, but also on the internet, we have done a couple of things, including what we call the concept series, wherein we invite people that have very good ideas to do like a screencast or a video or whatever and explain their idea, and we regularly show these videos and ideas. And we have, for example, forgot to write it here, but we have contest. To encourage students, for example, to participate with design ideas for the browser or web pages or new user interfaces or all that kind of thing. So we have these events and programs, but we also have technology. We already have results of the Mozilla Labs effort. You've seen Ubiquiti earlier today, so I won't insult you by explaining what it is. You also may have seen Personas, which is the ability to theme Firefox, but in a very easy way. If you want to, you know, change the skin of Firefox, either you do it the old way, which implies, you know, a lot of knowledge and very structured tools to create a new theme. But Personas is the lightweight approach, which is basically you ask people to give an image. And the image is put is replacing basically the toolbar. What's beautiful is that the barrier to entry is extremely low. I mean, if you can, you know, copy paste the URL of a PNG image, basically, you can theme, you can skin your Firefox. It's interesting because, well, people that have the skills to use the GIMP or Photoshop to produce an image And not necessarily the people who know how to deal with JavaScript and CSS and all that. So we are enabling people to participate from an artistic standpoint in theming Firefox using the Personas extension. Another example is Weave. Weave being the ability to synchronize your Firefox profiles across several computers. So basically, well, the reason it exists is that your user profile in a Firefox context is extremely important and valuable and becoming more and more valuable for you. With Firefox 3, for example, we have introduced the Awesome Bar or the Smart Location Bar, which is something that suggests places you want to visit because you've visited them in the past. It's basically a way to reinvent the bookmarks to some extent and the way you use the bookmarks and access them. I use it, I love it. When I go on my wife's computer, I'm lost because it's so powerful on my machine. And when I go on her machine, and because she uses, you know, different websites, I'm lost because I can't find, I don't have my bookmarks, I don't have my passwords, I don't have my history of visits and stuff like that. And then suddenly her Firefox, which is exactly the same as mine, you know, it's not as powerful as my Firefox. And the only difference is not the code, it's all the data about my usage. And Weave is the ability to synchronize this data across securely and respecting your privacy across several instances of Firefox. It means that I can have a Firefox in the office, I can have a Firefox on my notebook, I can have my wife's Firefox, I can have, in the future, we'll have Mozilla Fennec, which is the portable, mobile Firefox. All of these will be able to share the same profile of information. And so if you've seen, I don't know, a cool restaurant website in the office, and then you're walking in the street, you'll be able to look up for this in your history of visits from your mobile, because you're using your mobile Firefox with Weave, and the two are connected together. What's interesting is it's open source. You can run your own version of Weave on your own server to synchronize the two, and everything is encrypted. So it's not about, you know, sneaking into your personal detail and history and browsing habits or anything. The last example is Bspin. Bspin is a text editor in a browser. It's very early. It was just announced. It's extremely fast. It's a prototype, so it's not ready. But basically, it's a web application that enables you to edit web pages. Well, to edit text means you can edit HTML, CSS, JavaScript, all with, you know, colorful editing and all this. But because it's online and it's running on a server, several people at the same time can work on the same document. So this is an experiment. All of these actually are experiments. But the idea is to, you know, try new ideas here, hack these ideas, make prototypes, see how people enjoy them, see how people improve them with the lab's team, and everybody who wants to join, and reiterate like this for a while. And that, when the technology is getting more mature and the idea is validated, then we can uplift it, say, hey, you know what? This thing is cool. We could do it in Firefox. So I think Weave, at some point, in one way or another, will be in Firefox by default. One interesting, it's optional use, of course. If you don't want to store anything outside, you don't have to. But Firefox will be ready to upload, if you want, your data to a save server, maybe yours, so that you can synchronize several Firefoxes between, you know, profile between these instances of Firefox. One indicator of this is that now the Weave server that synchronizes the Firefox profiles used to run in the labs. It was, you know, it was just an ordinary server in the labs department. And now this is now running on our production environment of Mozilla.com in our data center. So it's ready to welcome potentially dozens of millions of users in the future. So that's the kind of thing we do. We invite people to throw ideas at us. We build prototypes. We release them. They are bad, but that's the point. And if it makes sense to improve them, then we do, with the collaboration of the community. And as it gets better, it may become a product, or maybe it was just market research. It was something that looked like a good idea, but was not a good idea. And so we don't work on it anymore, and we move to another more promising feature or technology. Now, it's up to you to participate all day long. Well, folks, we'll share lunch. And then this afternoon is going to be more technical. You'll have several sessions in parallel, and maybe Fabrice, you want to talk about. Bon appétit, as we say in French, until we're done with all of this. And see you later. Thank you.
Food. We have some sandwiches, so I would say a taco sandwich. In the afternoon, first of all, I have to say that we have the PGP key signing party at breakout room number one, and also the assurance party. But also, Tosh asked me to ask you guys if there are any assurers in this room. Please do go to Tosh, but he needs a little bit of assistance there. So. Any assurance here, CSS assurance, please go to Tosh. So for the afternoon, we have this this schedule. If you don't have it, it's on the table outside. Please fetch one, and then you need to choose. So you need to make a choice on those talks. Go through them. We have Raphael Trompy. He's going to talk about weaving non-textual content into the semantic web. Breakout room number two. That's our Dutch hero, Jor Lohuis. He's going to talk about Firebug and Firefox and how to develop web applications. And in the auditorium, which is this room, then we have Olivier Gambé, who's going to talk a bit about the demo he's been doing this morning. So check out the program, enjoy your lunch, and see you back at, we have three quarters, so that would be, let's see, 30 or 13:30.